Hey, yo, Chico. Yeah, it's Andrew Palmer, the Psycho Butcher. You're listening to the Oversell Podcast. Keep doing that, guys. It helps the algorithm. Come on.
It is episode 32, and we are talking WWE Survivor Series with our official pay-per-view review analyst, Mo Stiegel. Stick around. This is the Oversell Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Oversell Podcast. My name is Derek.
I am Dan.
I am Mike.
We're here to talk a little professional wrestling, but before we get there, let's get some plugs out of the way. As always, be sure to head over to OversellPodcast.com. Check on that Amazon link right there on the site. Christmas shopping season is here. You're going to shop on Amazon.com anyway. If you do it through Oversell Podcast, you can help this podcast out. I'm going to shop on Amazon. I'm going to do it through OversellPodcast.com. Guys.
We're going to get ourselves money.
Yeah.
That's
what we're here for. You've got to help yourself out, right, too? Be sure you are following us on Twitter. We are at Oversell Podcast. I am at Shropnuts, S-C-H-R-O-E-P-N-U-T-S.
I am at One Dangerous Dan, and I'm on Facebook, Dangerous Dan Matthews.
At WolfMike23.
Also, be sure to head over to Facebook.com/OversellPodcast. We've gotten near 100 likes.
Wow.
In the past week. So you guys, people are listening.
Yep.
They're starting to pay attention.
Yep. And that's not just our own personal, like, multiple accounts.
No. You
know, so. No, it's not just me.
Combined. Yeah. No.
So, guys, how's your week been?
Short. I like it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been a real short week.
Looking forward to eating tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah.
That's the reason I've been losing weight is just to make room for tomorrow.
There you go. You're going to find all that weight you lost tomorrow.
Yes. Know exactly where it is.
To all of our listeners out there, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
Be sure to eat as much as you can. Go out Friday, play some football like I'm going to be doing with some friends. It's going to be interesting to see how old Derek moves out on the old football field.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Everything's old now, huh?
Yeah.
Old Derek, old football field.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you're my age.
Old football field, old Derek.
Being that you're the youngest one here at this table.
Yeah, really.
Now you're just arguing semantics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, guys, I got to go to MEW Wrestling Friday night, and my first thought, I never walk away from an MEW show disappointed.
Okay.
They work their asses off.
Oh,
and this week was no different.
Mm-hmm.
Opened up Kid Crazy and Josh Cross. I got his name right.
There you go.
Yay, you said it right.
They took on this tag team called Lethal Injection. They're an Arkansas-based tag team. I don't know much about them, but they sure were drawing with fans pretty good, and I was sitting right there in their corner, and they just kept going back and forth, and, man, Kid Crazy is something special.
Oh, yeah.
I love watching that guy go. Mm-hmm. And Josh Cross, for a guy his size, he can go. He can fly.
Oh, yeah.
Has great control of his body. I think he did like a suicide dive or something to the outside. I know he did a couple of, I think he may have done a swanton in the match. And it was weird seeing Josh Cross as a face.
Yeah.
He looked very reluctant to be a face, but it was still very high intensity match. Actually, that wasn't even the open match. I'm getting ahead of myself. Opening match was Damone Salavino and Duke Warfield taking on.
Now, was this a tag team turmoil event?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So there's a lot of tag team. There's a couple single matches, but mostly everything was tag team. And I forget these guys they wrestled, but they were two bigger boys from, I'm going to guess, Arkansas. And their shirts had something to do with beer.
they immediately attribute that to Arkansas.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was like, what?
Well, when you think Arkansas, what do you think of?
Nothing.
empty field.
But Duke Warfield and Damone Salavino have a great chemistry as tag team. And Duke, man, I'm telling you, the more I see a Duke, the more impressed I get. And the same thing for Damone. Because Damone can go, and Duke Warfield can go. And their styles are kind of clashing, to where you have Duke, who is the ground guy, you know, the technician. Mm-hmm. Then you have Damon Salavino, who is flyer, risk taker, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And two good guys in touch with the fans. My nephew got to give Duke Warfield a 5, and that really got him excited. And I'll go ahead and plug his appearance coming up next month. Duke Warfield will be here, and he will be
in
live
studio.
Right here in Oversell Studios in Bartlett, Tennessee.
Alive.
So we're looking forward to that, and I look forward to talking to Duke. Next match was Del Tucker putting on his MEW television title against a man who's been wrestling in Memphis for a very long time, 3G, the Dream Killer, Eric Wayne. And those guys beat the hell out of each other. It was a very physical match.
Oh, I'm sure it was very physical.
Dell is one of the best heels in Memphis. That man gets serious heat, at least from what I've seen in MEW. And he's great at just egging it on, too. Like, I had my Buccaneers shirt on, so he's like, "You're a Buccaneers fan. What does your opinion matter?" And saying shit like that. And I'm like, "Well, you're a Falcons fan, and the Bucs beat the Falcons this year." So, and that's about the height of my voice that I used, because I didn't want Del Tucker to jump in the ring and get the crap kicked out of me. Eric Wayne.
He was actually just texting that to himself. And
But, man, him and Eric Wayne had a hellacious match. They went out in the crowd. Someone got thrown into a section of chairs. They just beat the hell out of each other for about 15 minutes. Del Tucker won by count out. They battled outside for a bit, threw Eric into a into a post, and that was how they won it. Then we had Chris Lex, the King of POW, who has won Superstar of the Week on this show, taking on Extreme Bret Michaels. That dude is a behemoth.
Yeah.
I'm amazed at how big the dude is. I mean, that sucker. Chris Lex got the win, of course. He's still your MEW Supreme Heavyweight Championship. But they, once again, physical match. Chris Lex is just so in touch with the way the crowd, in touch with the crowd. His connection to those people down there at 4050 North Watkins is just incredible.
Who did he wrestle?
Extreme Bret Michaels.
Did he come out to Poison?
No. Trust me. If you saw this dude, you wouldn't even make this joke, because
no, you wouldn't.
This dude, I
will get on the Google machine.
I think he's wrestled for TNA some. Trying to think if there's anything, any other matches. In the main event, we had a tag team turmoil match. Whichever tag team lost had to break up. Full Deck versus Diamond Inc.
I bet that was a good one.
This match was extremely physical. They fought all over. It went outside. They were fighting outside in the parking lot.
Oh, wow.
Just beating the hell out of each other. And all credit to those guys. It was cold Friday night.
Oh, geez.
They're out there shirtless, throwing chops, beating the hell out of each other, and get back to the ring. Full Deck pins Diamond Inc. Diamond Inc. is no longer a tag team.
Oh, wow.
So,
I'm guessing this is the guy?
Yeah, that's him. Holy shit. Like, when I saw him come out, I'm like, God, dog, that dude is huge. Yeah. You going to make any Poison jokes to him now?
I think I still will.
I'm going to remember that. I'm going to cut that out.
Let me see the picture.
If we ever get him on the show. I mean, dude is just jacked up. That's actually him. Those shots right there, that's him at MEW this past weekend. But, man, Tattoo, Reno Diamond, Full Deck, Chris Lex, all those guys at MEW, it is such a hardworking company. You can tell their heart is really into this show, and they give it absolutely everything they have. And it really impresses me every week. Since I've started going to this show, I have not left once disappointed. And my nephew got a picture with the King of Pow, Chris Lex, and he was really excited about that.
That's cool.
That was actually when we're outside watching Diamond Inc. and Phil Deck fight. and to his credit, he was actually out there rooting for Diamond Inc., you know, as a true face. Just come on, Diamond Inc. Come on. And man, it was just a really fun show.
Hey, I'm happy that you've become a local wrestling fan. I really am.
I still got to see a Wildfire show.
Yes, you do.
Technically, I have, because I went to Roundhouse Revival, and that was a Wildfire show.
Yeah.
So
yeah. You need to see it in all of its glory Woodland Hills or
Thursday
someplace
nights,
like that. You know?
It's so hard for us to get, because usually sometimes I have to work right after I get done when we get done recording. So right. Thursday nights is like the worst night for them to put on a wrestling show. So, of course, that last show is going to be on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
But they got superstars over there too. Derek King,
five star,
R&D, Red Rum, and what, Bloody Mary. Yeah. Next time they have a show, I'm going to get out there. So.
Well, this just in. Mo's sick. He's not going to call in tonight.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh man.
Been throwing up all day.
Ew.
No well, Oprah yeah. tonight.
Yeah. He. No Oprah.
Well.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, he just texted me, said not going to be able to call in tonight. So,
okay. Before we get into our Survivor Series review, let's go ahead and do our Memphis.
Let's do that.
Let's
wrestling
do that.
Moment. What's today's date?
Today's 25th. So I figured it could have been either.
We'll do the
either one of those.
All right, November 28th, 1983.
Oh yeah.
I was 2 years old.
I was five.
I was two as well.
So why you call me young when you're the same age
what
I
are you
was.
Saying you're old.
Yeah, but you're still technically the youngest.
Yeah. Why are you saying you? Why are you saying you old? I'm
because no, I mean if
you are old.
3 years
you're
on you.
If that's the case, then we're all old.
You're the old man on the show. So,
yeah.
All right. So, all right. November 28th, 1983. Championship Wrestling presents Mid-South Wrestling at the Coliseum, and we had a triple main event. Actually, I'm going to go from the bottom.
Yeah,
up.
Work up.
The Grappler versus Tom Pritchard.
There you go.
That had to be a hell of a match. Russian Invader versus the Jaguar. 10-man tag match. The Moondogs, the A-Team, and Dennis Condrey versus Robert Gibson, Bobby Eaton, Stagger Lee, Art Crows, and Plowboy Frazier. I wish some of these matches were on YouTube. I want to watch Bobby Eaton in his old glory tag
man,
team days.
Bobby is such a smooth worker.
Probably the greatest tag team wrestler of all time.
Yeah, I was so honored to actually have a match with him and Golden Boy, and I mean that was just awesome.
Mid-American heavyweight title match: Buddy Landell versus Terry Taylor. That had to be a great match.
Oh yeah.
Southern tag team title match: The Bruise Brothers with Jimmy Hart versus the Fabulous Ones.
There you go.
There, nice. Yeah. U.S. Junior heavyweight title match: Bill Dundee versus Rick Morton. Grudge match: Dutch Mantell versus Norval.
Now that's
Austin.
That's the United States Junior Heavyweight title.
Yeah,
that's the title I won.
Yeah,
the exact same title I won.
That's awesome. And then the main event: Southern Heavyweight Title match: Jerry Lawler versus Ken Patera with Jimmy Hart. How cool is that?
I like that.
All right, let's see.
Just read the main event of the week before.
The week before, main event boxing and wrestling: Jerry Lawler versus Jimmy Hart and Andy Kaufman.
Bah.
That's awesome. That was.
That's good.
Yeah, that's great. Let's see if these results.
Gotta find that results section.
Well, I don't think he put the results in for this one because I think it's for these other two cards here.
Yeah.
Well, that sucks.
Well, we can do a predict what we thought happened.
Andy Kaufman interfered.
Lawler, I'm sure, beat Ken Patera.
Yeah.
Bet you Dutch
Mantell. But you don't know. See, I mean, Patera had a month run here. You know.
Hey, we're just making predictions.
Hey,
we're just guessing.
Yeah.
We'll hop in the DeLorean and find it out
we're
later.
We're guessing about stuff that happened.
Well,
we're making
32 years ago.
It's fun.
We're predicting things that happened 32 years ago.
That match must have been a hell of a match.
For the grudge match, I bet you Dutch Mantell beat Norval Austin. U.S. Junior Heavyweight Title match, I think Rick Morton probably won that one, just to keep, you know. I don't know. I'm just filling time,
I'm,
folks.
I'm sure, yeah.
So then, okay, we're done with that.
Yada, yada, yada.
All right. well, let's take a break so we can gather ourselves and get ready for some straight-up Survivor Series talk. Stick around. We'll be right back. This is the Oversell Podcast. What, did you want something to say something else?
Oh, wait. Hold on. We've got a few things we could talk about. I mean,
okay.
We can edit that.
Dad, leave it in.
Or leave it in, whatever.
Yeah,
it
whatever.
But yeah, there's a few things are going on.
Actually,
I mean, they just released Brad Maddox.
Yeah, and I tweeted this on my account earlier today. You put the man in a, what was it, a chicken outfit?
Turkey
outfit. You send him out and get him tombstoned on Jimmy Fallon, then you release him. That's
the day before Thanksgiving.
The day before. That is just... Not the day before Thanksgiving.
Now, you know,
that was last week when they did that.
Two, we might not know.
Oh, you released him before.
No, released him
the day
before.
I got you.
We might not know a lot of the different situations that are happening because I don't know if you know this or not, but Solomon Crowe also asked for and received his release.
Yeah, I can't blame him for that because he was sitting there doing nothing in NXT.
Yeah.
And it sucks because he is a very talented guy, great on the mic. Crazy matches.
Mm-hmm.
He can do some crazy stuff in matches, and he was just wasting away.
Well, I got to put this out there as like my friend Kevin, who was Knuckles Madsen in NXT. You know, it's a different animal when you get there. You know, it's not like the independent scene where you're constantly working. You know, and you're constantly working in shows, and you're constantly building this character and everything, and you're in front of everybody constantly. You know, looking at the breaking ground stuff, you know, if they feel like you're ready for a show, they'll put you on a show. But if you're not on a show, you're literally just training.
Right.
And that's it. You know, oh, you're not ready to be in front of people. You're just going to train.
Right.
You know, so if they were doing that to him, you know, which I haven't seen him on any cards lately at all. I mean, in the episodes of NXT that I've watched, didn't have him on them. So, I mean, kind of tough to, like, gauge a character when they're not even putting him in front of people.
You know, he had a couple of moments where, at first, when he first came to NXT, he was going to be this hacker character, and Kalisto came out and was cutting a promo. The lights go off. You hear this crazy hacking sound, and the lights come back on. There's Solomon Crowe with Kalisto laid out, and then he just hits a button on his tablet, and he disappears again. And then for a while there, he was doing vignettes where he kind of hacked the show and took over, cut a promo, and left. And then they just kind of stopped. And then he jobbed out to someone they just brought in, too.
Wow.
I mean, hopefully, you know, he's not going to have any problems getting any bookings or anything like that. He's Solomon damn Crowe.
Yeah.
Sammy Callahan.
Yeah.
He's going to find plenty of work.
Oh, yeah.
On the indie scene. ROH. May get him.
Oh, definitely.
You know,
I mean, one of the big ones is going to get him. So. One of the other big ones is going to get him. I mean, it's the guy's got talent, you know. And when you have talent of his caliber, you can't put him on the back burner and expect him to sit there.
Right, right.
You know,
but and it sounded like everything ended amicably.
Yeah, yeah.
So
didn't sound like there was any bad blood there or anything. It just he asked for his release and got it. So.
And, you know, they may call him eventually down the road and say, hey, we finally got something for you we think will work. Bring it back in. Let's run it at a couple of NXT house shows or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll see what happens there.
I mean, you know, talking to Kevin and everything, it really – I think getting up there and seeing what it was and how it was totally run and, you know, seeing that it was a totally different animal from what he thought it was and it was a totally different animal from the indie scene – and that he was going to have to adjust and rework everything that he ever knew, you know. And that's kind of tough for people, you know.
Yeah.
And seeing that on the breaking ground, you know, there's guys up there now that are, you know, they've got this their mindset on this one gimmick. And, you know, they go and they tell them, you're not that guy. Think of something else. And they're like, but I've been working on this for like 10 years and I did it in front of everybody else and everybody else liked it. Why don't you like it? You know, so, you know, the part that you have to remember is WWE is an entertainment company. They're not a wrestling company. And that's what they told me when I tried out. And that's mainly what turned me off of it was just like, really? Because, like, yeah, you know, they let them wrestle in NXT and everything. And we'll get to this later, I'm sure. I mean, because Mick Foley even said this week Survivor Series. Did y'all see that stuff that Mick Foley put up?
Yep.
We'll talk about that on the Survivor Series review after the break, but holy crap.
Yeah, I sent him a tweet, not that he would do it. I invite him on the show to talk to us about it sometime.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? Maybe we'll get
lucky.
Yeah.
Oh, man, how cool
that
would be to talk
be great.
To Mick Foley for like – Mick Foley would be
Well, in the thing that he wrote, he said he drove from East Tennessee to Florida to see Becky Lynch and Sasha the first time they wrestled.
Yep.
So maybe he lives in Tennessee. Maybe we got an inn there, you know.
Yep.
But who knows? But we'll go over that because I want to pull that up and read that. That was an awesome.
Right.
That was everything that he brought up in that blog was awesome.
Okay.
So
well, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll go into Survivor Series, and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
This is the Oversell Podcast. Welcome back to the Oversell
Podcast.
Feel
like a little Mick Jagger.
And I gotta ask, does that song bring back good memories
Dan? Hell yeah!
Oh, it does. The feel of the leather belt lashing my skin.
Yes.
And
we're not talking about S&M. We literally got hit with belts in Union City. We got a belt wrapped around us a couple of times by Golden Boy in Union City during some tag matches. It was not fun.
Well, joining us now on the show, for those that don't know, is our official pay-per-view review analyst,
Oprah.
Oprah
Stiegel. And Mo, it's always a pleasure to have you back on the show, man. We love talking to you.
Oh, man, glad to be on the show, man.
Well, let's dive into it.
Let's dive into the internet, what the internet people have declared is the worst pay-per-view they've ever seen in their lives.
Well, that's I've seen that. I won't call it the worst I've ever seen, but this is straight bad.
Yeah,
to me,
I think everybody's forgotten.
Brown 2013.
I think everybody's like forgotten the pay-per-view that was December to Dismember,
the WWE ECW
pay-per-view.
George in our chat room asked if we get free stuff from this Oprah.
Yeah, no. Well,
I don't think you'd want anything Mo could give you.
No.
If you want some heat. Like, I can give you some hate. Come to your chair. You're not getting booked anywhere.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Mo, a matter of fact, he has so much heat, he does not get cold in the winter at all.
Chuck Norris is so jealous of me.
That's right. He walks around with a short sleeve shirt in the winter.
Well, let's dive into it, and we'll start with the pre-show. Mike, you want to give us that match there?
That was one of the two traditional 5-on-5 Survivor Series matches.
My first problem with this show is you have a Survivor Series match on the pre-card.
True.
And then you have only one in your Survivor Series pay-per-view. They really, with this pay-per-view, the only thing they should be doing is going back to what made that pay-per-view the best.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing but Survivor Series team matches.
Yep.
That was when the pay-per-view was so awesome. Mm-hmm. And maybe a World Heavyweight Championship match, but that's it.
I think if we do that, I think if they do that, then they need to, like, put a stipulation into the, like, sole survivors at the end of the night. Something like a
team captain
on the first one.
Yeah, you know, and, like, the sole survivors at the end of the night gets title match of their choice or something like that. You
there
know?
You go.
Something like that. You
well,
know?
See, at the first Survivor Series, they had all the survivors meet back up in a heel babyface match in the main event, and it wound up being like three more heels and babyfaces.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Hogan and Warrior were on the other team, so.
And they.
It's John Cena!
And they John Cena'd everybody! But yeah, we had the return of Goldust in this match, which which I loved, but at the same time, it's on the pre-show.
It's on the pre-show.
Why'd you have a surprise like that on the pre-show?
And like,
I miss Oprah does.
And why not just say these pay-per-views start at 6?
Yeah.
Or 6:30. And just don't call it a pre-show. Just call it a match in the show. That's your opening match.
Yeah. Now, I know, like, DirecTV and them, they go into the pre-show for like an hour, you know, and they do it as a free thing. Like, oh, you want to buy the pay-per-view?
Right,
here you
go.
You know you want to buy the pay-per-view. Here's a free match. You know you want to buy the pay-per-view. And then they cut it off at like 7 o'clock
Kevin
and it
Owens
goes
in
into
the pre-show.
Pay-per-view.
Oh, God. My goodness, pay-per-view.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, it's funny to see like who gets on the pre-show now, you know?
Like
but
this with this one, you have the Dudleys on
the
your pre-show.
Dudleys.
Yeah.
The last tag team. Put the Usos on the Dudley or in the pre-show.
Yeah, put them on the Dudleys.
Would
the Dudleys rather work the pre-show or Destination A?
Good point. Very good point.
Yeah.
I guess that was what he's like. We don't want to do the pre-show. Well, you take your ass back to TNA. We're good. We're good.
We got it. We'll do the pre-show.
Oh, man, I love the pre-show.
I love the pre-show. Don't you love the pre-show, Devon?
I love the pre-show.
No,
I love
the pre-show. Saying that we should.
We'll be in the ring after the commercial.
I like how your Bubba Ray impression is an 8-year-old kid.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how he talks. He's kind of high-pitched when he gets excited, you know?
Right.
He's like a loudmouth redneck, you know?
Yeah. Let's go on to the next match, because I don't want to talk too much about a pre-show match.
He's so totally disparaged.
Oh, well, it started with Reigns and Del Rio.
And it was
great match.
Great match.
It was a great match.
We knew who was going to win coming into it. I mean, it was totally predictable.
And this was the theme of the night. Everything was predictable, but they were having great matches.
Yeah,
everything was great matches. These wrestlers put some great work into their matches and everything, and that's why I'm like so down on the internet and all these guys and all these former WWE writers and everything coming in and saying, oh, this is terrible. Oh, this is horrible. We could have done a better job than this. And la, 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 la. Like, the WWE
honestly,
champion
though,
just got hurt, you know? They're doing what they can. They're in battle recovery mode. So go ahead, Mo.
I mean, you can't get too hot about it because, honestly, if you threw Facebook into 1998, you'd have heard the same stuff. Oh, my God, Austin went over again. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
Oh, the NWO's, they're burying everybody.
Mm-hmm,
Hogan, 70.
Which, let me ask you this before we delve deeper into the, what is hurt wrestling more, the death of the territories or the internet?
The internet.
The internet.
The internet.
By far, the internet.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to keep secrets now.
Yeah.
Because
now,
secrets, like, everybody has an opinion, right?
Like back before Facebook and MySpace and MySpace. Holy
Friendster.
Shit! Son, there's your there's your throwback Thursday. A MySpace reference. Holy shit! But yeah, I mean back in the day when all you had was what is now called the dirt sheets.
Right.
You know, you had web pages you could go to. And you could see behind the scenes. And you could, you know, oh, wow, okay, this guy's having trouble behind the scenes and all this other stuff. And you got the inside stuff on it, you know. Now you have Facebook. You have Twitter. You have MySpace. All the you know, social networkings have evolved. And now you have a wrestling fan who is 24/7 connected to the business and the inside of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks he knows everything.
I do know everything.
I mean,
you showed up.
Like the most prominent memory in my mind is like Starrcade 97 was like, I was so mad Bret Hart screwed Hogan in the NWO.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I watched Nitro the next night because I didn't have a keyboard to go online and go, oh my God.
Yeah.
They're burying Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
George brings up a very good point in our chat room. Think about this. This is what he said. It starts with, think about this.
Okay.
The curtain call was only really known to diehard fans who subscribe to newsletters. In this day and age, it would have been global in minutes.
Yep.
Isn't that incredible?
Within seconds.
Yeah.
Within seconds.
I mean, just imagine you're like, you're reading Twitter back when the curtain call happens, like, holy shit, they all hugged?
Yep.
What the hell is
going on
here?
You'd have had 27 different videos from 40 different camera
right.
angles.
With selfies and selfie sticks. And Tyler Breeze comes in and gives him a hug, too, just for some strange reason. Like, you're not even born yet.
I like hugging people because I'm gorgeous.
But, yeah, let's go back
to... Isn't it kind of funny that, like, not even 3 weeks ago, they had Shawn Michaels on the show, and he sit there and talks about not trying to be a duplicate, and then Dolph Ziggler warms the band up in the middle of the match?
Yep. Yep.
Like, somebody wasn't listening.
So,
he's busy doing Lana backwards.
Oh.
Collectively.
Wow. Keep getting that heat, Mo.
I know, right? Can't wait to my first shot at the Performance Center. Oh, no, we're gonna...
I can't wait
Kevin
to see.
Owens says,
go ahead.
We're going to leave it up to Kevin Owens if you get a contract, Mo.
Hey, you know, I think it'd be interesting to see Mo on Breaking Ground interacting with
people. Oh, my
God. No, that would be hilarious.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
You see me doing a lot of face bombing in my chair at home.
I'm totally out of the loop. I haven't been able to watch Breaking Ground. There's an interactive.
You're basically like in on the NXT training, basically. You know, you're seeing what happens in all the training that ZZ and Josh and all the Tough Enough guys are going through. And you go behind the scenes with Tyler Breeze and a bunch of the other guys that are training to get on the NXT show and stuff like that.
And so, honestly, I think this is – if they would have shot Tough Enough like this, it would have been a much better show.
And it's narrated by William Shatner, which is badass.
Oh, my goodness. Are you serious?
Yeah, that's for real. I am 100% for real. It's badass because it's narrated by William Shatner. That alone won my vote.
Very.
Tyler Breeze took his selfie stick and took a picture on the side of the room. Hey,
saying everything with a pause there, William. You're not on Star Trek anymore.
Mr. Spock. He's not even on this show. let's go
he's
back.
Dead.
To,
oh, what?
Let's get back to Survivor Series. So, yeah, opened up with Roman Reigns and Del Rio, and they had a fantastic match.
Yes.
And like it's like you said, the matches were great, but, you know, something need to get shaken up in this tournament, and that never happened.
Mm-hmm. And I've got a behind-the-scenes story, too. I'm happy to see Zeb Coulter, Dutch Mantel, known to us Memphis fans, back on TV. And he still, to this day, behind the scenes, before the show ever starts, warms up his bullwhip. That was the thing when he would get to the arenas back in the day long before the show started, he'd be back in the back, like, you know, he'd find a wide open area and he'd start cracking the bullwhip. That bullwhip he always brought with him to the ring and everything. And last time I was behind the scenes as an extra and stuff, working extra talent and everything, he was back there. And he brought out that bullwhip, and he started warming it up about an hour before the show.
Nice.
And there were people that were coming over because he was teaching them how to use a bullwhip. There's a couple of road agents. There was a couple of road agents or producers or some people. They were coming over there, and they were grabbing two or three extra bullwhips that he had and trying to do it with him. You know, and he was teaching them how to do it.
That's awesome.
It was pretty cool. But that's just a little side story there, because every time I see Zeb, I always think about him warming up his bullwhip in the back. So I always think it was like, yep, I bet he was back warming up his bullwhip before the show.
What was the next match on the card?
Would have been Owens and Ambrose.
Ziggler and Breeze.
Got those two out quick.
Yeah, I guess they wanted him to rest before. Yeah, Owens and
Ambrose was awesome. Another good match.
And they're starting to do some things in their matches. Like Ambrose, I hate the punch, fall into the ropes, come up.
Yeah, and bounce back.
And I hate that move because it's predictable.
Yeah.
You know, especially Ambrose. Ambrose is the last guy that should have anything
predictable about his
matches. Mm-hmm. Anything. So I'd like to see him get that move out of his repertoire and not even really have a move repertoire. You know, that's just me. I don't know if that guy that bugs you as much as it bugs me, but I'm starting to get to that point now where
this is part of the show that had me heaving over a toilet all day today. Kevin Owens did a good job.
I can hear your teeth gritting against
Kevin.
Each other.
The sarcastic clapping back in the background.
Great job, Kevin.
Good job.
Good job. Catering on me. I mean.
Catering on you.
I love it. Owens is such a just a good damn worker. Sorry. Nothing?
Yeah.
I agree.
R2, R2.
Dead silence.
Yeah.
L1, R2, up,
for the
down,
guy,
left, right.
for the guy to be the size that he is, yes, he can work. And he's very surprising in the ring, yes. I fall into the category where, like, it's dry heel stuff, you know. We've had this previous conversation with Golden Boy, where it's dry heel, you know, and I don't like a dry heel.
But
he's hilarious in interviews, though. That stuff,
yeah.
Some of the stuff he's been doing in interviews are hilarious lately.
He's not trying to be super cool heel.
No.
You know, I'd rather him be a dry heel than try to be cool NWO heel or something like that.
But with the mix of people that are in there right now, he could expand his character without any problems whatsoever.
I'll agree. It could be good.
Because with Seth Rollins out for 6 to 8 months.
No, Cesaro.
Cesaro out. Orton out.
They're saying Orton's out. Could possibly be out a year now.
Yeah, they just posted something in this group that I'm in. Randy Orton to undergo neck surgery after he has shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
So these guys, but you think they've been going for 10, 15 years. Just balls to the wall, wrestling every night.
Which, after we get done talking about Survivor Series, I want to talk about that because I have something in my head I think that would benefit the WWE greatly.
Mm-hmm.
And
we'll talk about that.
Yeah. Save that point.
So what's our next match?
I think it was the traditional.
Yeah, it should have been the traditional.
The other traditional. What a throwaway fucking match.
Yeah.
And it didn't help Sheamus at all because you had Sheamus as the last guy there, and that's a face thing.
That he had. he was odd man out during the whole
New Day,
you know, talking thing, which was hilarious.
Oh, great.
It was hilarious.
And you know what? Damn you, Xavier Woods, you stole Raphael King's look.
Nice. Nice.
He straight up came to Memphis, probably saw a wildfire show. He's probably there with you guys. You just didn't notice
him.
Yeah,
we didn't notice him.
And he saw Art Raphael's hair.
Yeah.
And was like, ha-ha. Do
nice.
You know, have you ever met R&D, Mo?
Yeah, I've met him.
Yeah,
great, cool. Great worker, great heel, and we're gonna have him on the show eventually, and a great haircut.
Great haircut,
oh, yeah.
Great hair.
But yeah, like I don't get the point of having Sheamus like the only guy there after New Day leaves the ring.
And I'd like to point this booking misnomer or malfunction here out. You got to remember, previously, Sheamus was going to cash in on Seth Rollins after Rollins had had two matches on Night of Champions?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the night that Seth Rollins had two matches. He comes out, he's going to cash in. Kane interrupts the cash in, chokeslams Sheamus, and that's the end of that.
Yeah.
Okay, so like now, earlier in the night, Sheamus has a 3-on-1 situation, takes three finishers, gets the hell beat out of him, goes to the back, and at the end of the night, cashes in and wins the WWE title on this night.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Whereas Night of Champions, you had him take one move and he was done.
He was done.
So, I mean, that's to me, that's a booking malfunction right there.
That's the power of the demon, man.
Yeah. The demon. Was that the next match?
No, I think Divas.
Or was that Divas?
Yeah.
Biker Kane.
It doesn't matter.
Biker Kane. Biker Kane.
Well, let's move on to the Divas match before we go to Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family and Taker. This
Dude,
match.
We totally skipped Ziggler. What's up?
Oh, well, we can talk a little bit Tyler Breeze. I thought it was an all right match.
Ziggler
I mean,
and Tyler Breeze served its purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good match.
Tyler's got to be careful because that character he has can go stale quick, so he needs to be constantly doing something to change it up.
Yeah.
Hopefully, if this, like, I like, you know, this would have been a good time for when Tyler comes out to do his entrance like they did at the special NXT events,
mm-hmm.
where they have the supermodels all come out one by one,
mm-hmm.
in different outfits, and
right.
then Tyler, yeah, that would look
yeah,
great.
That was awesome. I saw a meme. It was superstars' careers that have been ruined by Summer Rae. It started out with Fandango, yeah. and then it went to Rusev, and it's
wow.
Dolph Ziggler.
Ziggler.
Wow. Almost like the curse of Sunny.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Let's, oh, God.
Sunny
don't. No, let's not get done talking on Sunny again. We had some off-air comments that were.
Anybody know where you can call that number on Sunny?
So basically you're saying we all need to get off of Sunny.
Yes.
Okay.
We could have used better vocabulary in that. Yes.
So I guess we could also call this match next Shawn Michaels versus next Shawn Michaels.
Maybe. That's a good point.
Michaels and Jannetty, but I'm not picking the Jannetty yet.
Okay, I got it. So what you're saying is, like, we need to go ahead and tag them up, and whichever one comes out on that, on
top. I think that would be great.
Dual selfie sticks.
You know, that wouldn't be bad.
That really wouldn't be a bad
idea. I think
idea.
Ziggler and Tyler Breeze could be a good tag team.
Yeah.
And move Ziggler back into a heel
the
role.
Gorgeous show off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Mo, call the WWE now and get a job booking so to make that happen.
There you go.
All right, the gorgeous show off.
The gorgeous show off.
Somebody to read my summary.
And then when they end up breaking up, Ziggler super kicks, you know, his selfie stick through a window or something. Because yeah. that would happen.
I wonder how many people right. are going to do that on WWE 2K16 after they hear
this.
Did you hear me, Mo?
No.
I said I wonder how many people are going to hear are going to do that on WWE 2K16 after hearing this.
Right. Oh man, me. As soon as I go in.
Hey, if you create this tag team and on WWE 2K16 and give them an effort, please. If you put on social media, tweet us. At Oversell Podcast, because that's something I think it would really be fun
yeah,
to see how
yeah.
many listeners we have out there playing.
There you go.
WWE 2K16. Well, this moves us into, we'll go to the Divas match.
Divas match.
Charlotte versus Paige, and this match, it didn't start.
The one match that should have started in a brawl
yeah.
didn't.
Yeah.
And they did it on Monday night. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
On Monday night, they had a
brawl. Yeah, they
started
killed
out,
it Monday.
They mm-hmm. they had an amazing match Monday. Why did you save that match for Monday?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get it.
Yep.
I think they lost. I think they tried too hard to, I mean, get too much emotion out of the match. Like, it's doing the whole little brother dying comment. That was low.
Yeah. And we talked about that last week. We weren't a fan of, especially since, like, he didn't die in, like, a car accident
no.
or something like that. He died of a drug overdose.
Yeah. He had been continuously
yeah.
having problems up until that point with drug addiction and stuff like that. It's not
yeah.
like something you bring.
I mean, it's not like when they were using Eddie in storylines.
Right.
Like,
no,
at least Eddie's made sense. You had Benoit on the roster. You had Chavo. You had Rey Mysterio.
Mm-hmm.
It made sense. This kid didn't do anything. He was just Ric Flair's kid.
Right. Mm-hmm. George in our chat room asks, has Charlotte had a good match that didn't involve Sasha or Natalya? She had a lot of good matches in NXT.
Yeah. And her and Paige
I mean,
actually did a good job.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to think about it this way. Like, the NXT girls that bragged on, I mean, I know this from working out with Dan all the time when we were in the school. When me and Dan would have a match somewhere else, it clicked, it synced, because we knew each other, what each other was going to do. We trained the same way. It was smooth. So when you have Bayley and Sasha putting on 8-star matches, it's because they've worked together for a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, just nonstop.
Right.
And Paige and Charlotte haven't.
And it's kind of like they're serving two masters
yeah.
with these women's matches. And I think they need to stop using the term divas. Like Mike said last week,
mm-hmm.
start calling them women's wrestlers, bring back the women's wrestling title, and start looking at the women's wrestlers as they're looked at in NXT.
Yeah.
That would solve that problem immediately. Then you'd have a true, you could call it a women's wrestling revolution.
Yep. You can't call it a revolution unless you change the name of that title.
Right.
I'm to that point.
That butterfly belt is so stupid.
Hey, my little sister decorated that belt, all right?
she got out it's the bedazzling kit, some hot glue, and a lot of glitter.
Thing is, though,
a lot of pink.
I think they're still doing it, though, is because they can't trademark women's. You know, they've trademarked divas so they can make money off of that.
Yeah. Well, why can't they just say WWE women's title?
Yeah.
I mean, that's trademarkable.
They want to be unique.
Yeah, but you can't have total women on the E Network.
Yeah, exactly.
Guys, that show. Fuck.
Or WWE Flapper Girls title. Maybe that.
Oh my God.
Let's go way back. How about we just go before Divas and go all the way back to the Flapper Girl? How about that?
Oh, God. The Rockettes.
WWE
title.
Ratchet Champion. Oh.
This is why we like MMO. Come on. You just broke Dan.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Anyway, yeah,
it
didn't have the right pace for where they
went
with
it
the
should have started in a brawl, and it should have been an all-out fight from start to finish. Instead, they were...
Oh, especially after the way they left it on Raw. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it should have been a whole lot better than what it was.
Yeah,
you know.
Here's my big beef with Charlotte. I love Charlotte, her ring work. Like, she's great. Stop putting a microphone in her hand.
Oh,
you have a perfect element in her father to bring him in and let him be the mouthpiece because she can't talk.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Woo of hers, woo.
Yeah,
woo.
I can agree to that. It gives something to do with Ric Flair, and I never could get tired of seeing Ric Flair. I always like seeing...
Exactly, it gives Ric something to do.
I like seeing Ric take off his jacket, elbow drop it, pick up a book, talk into it while stepping on a microphone.
Throw the microphone down, yeah.
And just...
Because I've always wondered how hard it's got to be for the guys like Hogan and Flair that were like the biggest things in their profession. And now they're old and they can't do anymore, and they're blacklisted for saying the N-word. It's gonna be crazy.
Did you know they can't even say bring up his name on television now?
Yeah,
that's where we're at. Like, you can't say the words Hulk Hogan.
Golly.
Until about 6 months down the line, and
then whenever
they'll make up and forget it ever happened.
Yeah,
Hogan Vince too at WrestleMania 32.
Who are the tag team champions right now?
New Day.
And they didn't.
Hey, Ascension.
You wish.
The only reason I ask because it feels like forever since they defended the tag titles.
It's been a few weeks.
No, they defended against the Dudleys.
That was the last
pay-per-view, yeah.
It just seems, I don't know.
Yeah. About a month ago.
I think a title match on Raw every now and then would help their titles so much.
And a title change on Raw.
Yeah, that would be huge. They need the ratings would spike if you do that every once in a while. Oh yeah, they need
to treat the titles like trophies again. Like, I remember watching the Chris Jericho DVD, and he was talking about a time that they had an Intercontinental title match on Raw, and the whole time in the back, he was like, present it like a world title match. Have us both come out, no introductions, one person on one side of the ring, have the ring announcer hold the belt up. You know, the traditional, you know, title match ceremony before, and he's like, make the title mean something. And they didn't do it. And
if you go back to the Attitude Era, the week before, you know, they would promote, you're going to see your world heavyweight title defended on this show.
Exactly,
and,
yeah.
You know, if they would do that every so often, your viewership might go up. I think they did like a 2.9 rating this week.
Yeah, it was under 3 million.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
That is not good. I mean, ratings are in the tank, and... We can go back to this topic again. Let's finish up Survivor Series because I got a lot. Like I said, the thought I have, I think you probably will agree with me and think it's a good idea. Next match.
The Wyatts and Brothers of Destruction.
Is Bray Wyatt ever going to win?
Coolest entrance ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Bray Wyatt ever going to win a pay-per-view match?
No. I mean,
Not for a while, no.
He's the... Beat the people up on Raw, win every week on Raw, and then get beat at the pay-per-view guy.
Yeah, he's got a great record on
Raw.
Raw
and SmackDown.
Right.
He's probably undefeated on Raw. Well, actually,
this goes back to what you said earlier. You're missing so much talent. You have Bray Wyatt, who is a draw.
Mm-hmm.
People love coming to shows to see him cut promos, to do the little Firefly thing,
mm-hmm.
capitalize on the popularity.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying the time if they wanted to do anything with him, he should have been the guy to beat The Undertaker, not mm-hmm. Brock.
Now, he's a guy that needs a long program. He's a guy that needs a program that can be stretched out for longevity. You don't need to keep having your Randy Orton Sheamus matches take over a card.
Well, at least we won't see those
for
a year.
Yeah. But you don't need to keep having your Randy Orton Sheamus' matches and John Cena versus Sheamus Part 23, you know.
Right.
You don't need to have that taking over your card every single time because people have seen it. They
right.
don't like it. They're tired of it.
Well, and
so
if you look at the Reigns-Wyatt feud, it was creepy as hell, but it could have been a long, drawn-out feud, like when he's doing the pictures of his daughter
mm-hmm.
and
stuff
like that, but then they just kind of dropped it.
They pulled the Reigns back on once the daughter pictures
came. Yeah, pun intended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They pulled the Reigns back.
I'll go ahead and say it. It was raining tears at the end of the pay-per-view.
Right.
But, you know, good match. Luke Harper, I think, is very underrated
very.
As a worker.
Oh,
very.
Yeah.
I think he had a fantastic match here.
Yeah.
I thought it was a short match.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I know it's always said and joking about it, but I really thought that Undertaker's entrance was longer than his match.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird that The Undertaker actually won at Survivor Series because typically that's where he gets written off.
He loses.
Yeah.
He loses and gets written off until
WrestleMania.
WrestleMania.
Yep.
And they didn't do that this year, so that kind of shocked me, too.
Yep. We may see him in more programs, too, because I think there was talk of him actually being more involved at the pay-per-views and different things like that. So, you know, this may be a last year run for him.
His last ride.
A last hurrah. There you go. Last ride.
Oh, my God.
There's too much puns going on here.
It's too punny.
You still with us, Mo?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
I totally
sorry.
Agree. I think he's done after Mania.
I think
too.
Now, I heard somebody say this. It may have been one of you guys. I may have heard it on another podcast. How crazy would it be if The Undertaker won the title at WrestleMania 32 and then came out on Raw Monday, laid the title in the ring, and just walked away?
Yep. That'd be cool.
Yeah, nothing to prove.
I'd like to see that.
That would be very cool.
Like,
and then they'd be complaining about the next pay-per-view because it was a predictable tournament.
Mm-hmm. And then they'd be complaining about they'd be complaining about Sheamus winning the Money in Bank match for the second time at WrestleMania. And the tournament at King of the Ring.
Yep. And then not having a King of the Ring match.
Yeah.
Not the King of the Ring discussion again.
No, let's not get into that.
King Barrett
you know,
is still here.
You know, I thought it was a good match. Like
mm-hmm.
I said, Braun Strowman. Remember when he was like a monster that was no selling everything?
Mm-hmm.
What happened there?
They got choke slammed through the table, man.
Yeah.
What happens when the Taker
you know
can't get a hold
it
of you, brother?
It took two of them to do
make,
it.
That's
make,
right.
Make, you know what I would have done? Make him still a monster. He no-sells that, and he gets up, and Undertaker and Kane are like, what is this guy?
Yeah.
And then you have a new monster heel.
Yeah.
Now he's just becoming another Eric Rowan.
I love Undertaker, but it should have ended. Even if Taker and Kane got the win, it should have ended with the brothers laid out.
Yeah.
And the Wyatt.
Right. With four people out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, but they wanted to do a kind of a you know testament to the Undertaker. You know,
I mean the whole pay per view was it was all centered around him.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, if anything, you know, here's the way I honestly thought this was gonna go. I thought they were gonna come out there and get jumped by the four. You know, simultaneously, just all these guys jumping in and jumping on them. And I thought Brock Lesnar was going to come
in for
the save.
I think I hear a thing coming up.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
Are you Brock?
I thought for sure Brock Lesnar was going to make the save, and maybe Sting was going to come out there too.
I honestly don't think you'll be seeing Brock Lesnar until the Rumble.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, yeah.
And you won't see Brock Lesnar until he wins the Rumble when he comes out at 30, destroys everyone, throws it out, and there's your World Rumble winner.
Mm-hmm.
You know how much that hurts for me to say?
Yeah. I know. You kind of stuttered and stammered a little bit when you said it.
What was
as
our next match?
As long as he gets his hands on Owens in the Rumble and tears him apart, I'm good.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the next match is...
I hate hearing that he's a prize fighter. Put him against a beast like that.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I think the next match is the World Heavyweight title match.
Yeah, I think it was
Roman Reigns versus Dean Ambrose.
And that match went the way it was supposed to go.
It was too short, though.
It was too short.
It
was too
short. And I know why it ended the way it did, because that's if you're going to have Sheamus cash in, mm-hmm. that's the way you have to do it.
Right.
But it was just weird that...
We fully expected a turn from one of the two.
Yeah.
We did. And it didn't happen.
I would like to say I told you so on the no heel turn on Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for reminding us. I could have sworn one of them was turning, like when Triple H came out and the confetti's falling. But what I noticed, the one thing I noticed is Charles Robinson is still at ringside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit.
I mean, I knew just
anytime,
from the time.
Anytime Hunter comes out there.
Something's going to happen.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah. I mean, a good physical match, though. That point where they start shoving each other's head and then just start punching each other.
Yep.
I like that spot.
Because I thought they were going to pull a Taker and Brock there for a minute, start smiling at one another, and just beat the hell out of one another all over again. You know, so but it you know, it was them shoving each other, being brothers, you know.
I think, all right, Roman Reigns either needs to stop doing it, or he needs to start getting pinfalls from it. The Superman punch.
See, that's a problem I've got with pretty much every pay-per-view match now.
Yeah.
Is finishers not actually finishing people.
Right, right.
There too many people are kicking out of finishers too often. There's
except
you know,
the 3D. No one kicks out of the 3D because the Dudley Boys will legitimately kill you if you kick out of the
3D. This is true.
But, I mean, any pay-per-view match now, somebody kicks out of a finisher, you know, at least once.
Oh, but everyone has fallen victim to the springboard stunner.
That's not a finisher. That's a flop.
That movie is
I'm actually listening to commentary one night, and Michael Cole actually says the words, "Oh man, Cena's been very successful with that springboard stunner,"
that.
And I'm like,
"I remember that."
How?
You're a fucking liar.
How is he supposed to be successful?
I trusted you, Cole.
Oh yeah,
he successfully didn't break anything.
Yeah, he successfully landed on his ass in the ring. That's what he successfully did.
And then he kicked out at two.
And he kicked out at
but
two.
But I really wish they could get away from
you
know, at least not using finishers. That you know if.
Right.
If people are going to kick out of him, change your move.
With the Superman punch, I'm fine with him keeping it, but he has to stop doing his pounding the fist into the mat and then cocking his hand.
Yeah.
Just throw it. Just at some point, like, how awesome was a diamond cutter when you never knew when it was coming and Diamond Dallas Page did it?
Right.
It was. I remember it was like, Diamond Dallas Page is amazing.
I've still got it in my head where he took out the entire flock because they were jumping him one at a time. You know, and like Kidman comes behind and puts him in a sleeper hold, and he literally threw Kidman backwards. He threw his legs backwards and held onto his head and cut him.
See?
I mean, it was just like, and then like out of nowhere, he's just like pulling it out of fireman's carries and, you know, different things like that and everything. I've still got that in my head, you know, because he's getting jumped left and right, and he's diamond cutting everybody as they're getting in the ring, and it's just like, boom,
and that's what I love about Randy Orton. He can pull that RKO out of nowhere.
Exactly.
Yes.
You don't know exactly when it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, he sets it up sometimes when he does the little, you know, jumps down on the mat. And
the curb stomp to RKO is probably one of the best.
That was the best finish. Yeah. One of the best finishes I've ever seen.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it, but the shooting star from Evan Bourne into the RKO.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was great, too. And for me, another underrated one, at least. I won't say it's the best. Sheldon Benjamin against Shawn Michaels
on
Raw.
And he super kicked him as he springboarded.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
That was, that was catch his head and it's in the front row.
I want to see more moves like that. Like, Reigns, one week, I think he was getting a pop-up powerbomb. And when Kevin Owens popped him up, he came and he did a Superman punch. That's how that moved.
That's great.
Out of nowhere.
Exactly. That's how that
be more out of nowhere.
Right. And at least go for a pin every once in a while after you try it.
Yeah.
Don't just sit there and wait for the spear.
Right.
I mean, psychologically, they need Tracy Smothers in there telling them how to do this kind
of
shit.
There you go. Yeah.
But ultimately, finishers should be finishers again.
Right.
Yes. I mean, it's okay for a big match, you know, somebody to kick out, you know. you know, to build, you know, more of the match.
Well, I
mean, but,
and you have your monsters that it may take one or two finishers to get down. Like Brock Lesnar, you may have to spear him three times.
Exactly.
I can get that. And then have to spear him through a table or something.
But, I mean, you know, as much as we love Dean Ambrose.
Yeah. WrestleMania 14 made Kane when it took three tombstones to put him away.
And he was a monster, yeah. But, I mean, like, you know, Dean Ambrose, you know, we love him, but, you know, size-wise and all that, I mean, he shouldn't kick out of a finisher, multiple times.
No.
And he shouldn't do that whole back into the ropes and flip off.
Right.
Have I gotten that point across yet? I just want that known.
Well, he's, like, charging up his power meter so he can kick out.
Okay, so he can hit that, L1.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly. It's the only reason he does it.
He's got the SmackDown. Oh, shit.
Is it still Y for the finisher? I don't know.
Right.
But then Reigns wins. He's crying because he's so happy, and then he's crying because he eats two broke kicks. And
Yeah.
We have a new World Heavyweight Champion. The Sheamus era has begun.
Mm-hmm.
Who's excited for the Sheamus era?
Yeah.
I'm not seeing any hands up.
It's not going to last long.
Yeah. It's going to last till WrestleMania.
Well, I'm noticing.
I just don't see it happening. I don't know who else they'd put it on, but I don't see him being champion going to WrestleMania.
Are they starting to create a faction? Because I noticed like Wade Barrett and Rusev came out to help him.
They started that a little while ago before Rusev got injured.
Mm-hmm.
But now Sheamus is, you know, Triple H now teasing that.
Mm-hmm.
Wondering if they're going to bring in Barrett and Rusev to the Authority.
I think it'd be great, and it'd give something to bring...
start a faction.
Bring Neville Neville up.
If anything, that's what needs to happen.
The United Kingdom.
To bring it, the Allied Nations.
The Foreign Legion.
The Foreign Legion,
there you go.
And get Becky Lynch with them, too.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Paige, she's already heel.
I would like that. But overall...
And that would have been a great Survivor Series match.
Yeah. Why isn't this a Survivor Series match? We're creating a faction at the end of Survivor Series, damn it.
It's too many damn hands in the pot at the WWE.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Kevin Dunn has to have the... You know, he's producing the television and blah, 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 blah with his funky-ass fucking teeth. And I think I just sounded just like Jim Cornette saying that. Listen, you bucky-tooth motherfucker. I'm about to come over this table and slap them bucky-ass teeth out your fucking head.
Oh, God.
Anyway, sorry. It's Vince being out of touch. And this is the point I wanted to get to about what the WWE needs to do right now. WWE needs to take the month of December off for multiple reasons.
Okay.
Let your guys rest up. Some of them have minor lingering injuries.
Everybody does, basically, yeah.
Let them relax, see their families for a month, get them to spend time with them, you know, heal up, rehab, just get away, clear your head. Two, helps you reset your storylines.
Yeah.
I mean, it needs to be seasons with this show. That's where it's gotten.
Well, I think what a better idea of that would be to have a rotation, you know? Because, I think with it being on a rotation, I think you would have more longevity.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a few months downtime, you know, you can go back, you can, rest and work out and heal your body and everything, and then you come back in a few months and you're ready to do the show gambit again. You're ready to roll and go for another 9 months, you know.
Right. And I was talking to our friend Joseph. Every wrestler needs 2 months off.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with that. You know, and it's
right.
That way you avoid having all your best talent injured at one time because they're not running ragged all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think how those guys could come back if they had a month of rest.
Mm-hmm.
No house shows. You know, with Raw, you could do best ofs for a month. You got shows from the network you can promote. You know, there's plenty of options here. And that's why I
think people would like. They'd accept the refreshing change, Raw's not on TV for a month.
Well, and they get to
then
watch.
By the time you brought it back in January, you'd be like, oh, man, Raw's on.
Right.
Get ready for the Rumble.
You know, Monday Night Football is usually done around then, too, so you don't have to worry about that taking away your audience.
And a lot of TV shows do this, you know, like mid-season finales or whatever, and then they take off a month or two and then come back.
Right. And it would help. It wouldn't just help the wrestlers. It would help the fans.
Yeah.
Because they're not seeing the same thing every week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just.
I made a thing a while back, and I said if Walking Dead ever goes off the air, WWE needs to hire every writer off.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, that's some good storytelling right there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's some good long storytelling, you know, and I love
right.
a good long story. You know, it's just WWE hasn't been pulling through yet, you know, on the long storyline. So
another thing they need to do is call Jim Ross and say, Jim,
we're sorry.
How much money will it take? What demands do you have? We need you back at the commentary table.
I think Ross is done. I really do.
He is.
Health-wise, he's done.
Yeah.
You know, he can't take a schedule like that.
I just want to hear his voice on Monday nights.
And, you know, to get it, you can't just do commentary. You know, they want you doing, like, three or four other jobs besides commentary. Because Michael Cole, commentary is not his only job.
Well, you know what? If I'm running the show, Jim, I want you at that commentary table on Monday nights. Don't worry about another damn thing except about getting good commentary.
Yeah.
John Bradshaw, Layfield, Michael Cole, Byron Sexton, you can go fuck yourselves.
I mean, I know it wouldn't happen now because of Brock's back and all, but I miss Paul Heyman.
Heyman was good. Ross and Lawler's chemistry was just untouchable.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they can bring in Mo Steagall and do commentary.
There you go.
There you go. When he's not under the weather.
We got Mo here on content. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Kevin Owens
apparently,
wrestling. No.
Apparently Papa Shango cursed Mo Steagall.
Right. Help me, sick man.
You're not. If you're puking colors, you may want to call Papa Shango.
Yeah.
Right. A little ooze pouring down my head.
There you go. All right. Well, I've looked this up, and this was a post by Mick Foley. Can I read this? Are
yeah,
we ready
go
for
ahead.
This?
Go ahead.
And I think, man, this is spot on. This really is. Let's see here. He titles this "Getting Close." It says, "I'm going to quote an article from July 2014 called 'The Sad Case of Zack Ryder,' in which I wrote, 'Eventually, people get tired of finding out what the WWE superstars they have supported with their cheers, their signs, their purchases, their follows, and their likes aren't real superstars. And little by little, those fans lose interest in WWE. They find other interests and become former WWE fans. I am one of those people on the verge of becoming a former WWE fan. I'm tired of being told through Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views that WWE superstars I have rooted for, from Ziggler to Cesaro to Kevin Owens, aren't top stars. No matter how strongly crowd reaction seems to disagree, I'm tired of NXT stars getting their big break in WWE just to be treated like jokes. 6 months ago, my son and I traveled 12 hours from Eastern Tennessee to Orlando, Florida, to watch Sasha Banks wrestle Becky Lynch at an NXT TakeOver, one of the greatest women's matches of all time. Last night, in what I believe was their first singles match on Raw, Sasha and Becky were given 4 minutes. At a time when WWE desperately needs to make new stars, when they need to give wrestlers with talent the opportunity to break through, they gave Sasha and Becky 4 minutes. I turned the channel and watched a pretty good football game instead. I think I can get used to watching football games on Monday night again. I will be watching Raw this Monday. Maybe, as is often the case in relationships, they will give me just enough to remind me why I love wrestling, just enough to keep me coming back. Maybe they will even give Sasha and Becky a rematch and a legitimate chance to show the world what they can do. There is an old saying in politics, as Ohio goes, so goes the nation. Think of me as the Ohio of wrestling fans. If I leave, it's not just one disgruntled former fan finding something else to do on Monday nights. Instead, losing a longtime diehard fan like me might well be an indication of a larger exodus from WWE. I guess we'll see what tale the ratings tell. I want to say, I really do, so please. I want to stay, I really do. So please, WWE, next week on WWE Raw, just give me a reason. Let me know what you think. Oh, yeah. Sock Tuesday is one more week away. Bang, bang. That was spot on right there.
Yeah. That, and I sent, not that I'm expecting an answer back, I sent an invitation to Mick to come on this show.
He has an open invitation anytime he wants to come on this show.
Yeah, we may even, if even we may even have to bump Oprah.
Oh, man.
Oprah may not like that.
But I think he hit.
You get a middle finger. Everybody gets a middle finger.
Middle finger.
He hit the nail on the head.
Yes, he did. I mean, you cannot. That was perfectly put.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can't watch a show that drives people away. You know, and knowing how hard these guys work to get these spots on these shows and to treat them like second class and third class citizens is unacceptable in my book and a lot of other people's books, too. You're not going to make a star out of these guys by putting them on pre-shows. You're not going to make a star out of these guys by having them lose constantly on Raw and SmackDown and WWF Superstars. And then, you know, they go to NXT and they act like gods.
Right.
Right.
You know,
right. And Sasha Banks, who is one of your, not just your best women's workers, she's one of your best workers.
Yeah.
Best wrestlers.
Yeah. 4-minute match on Raw.
And if she goes to NXT, she lights the world up against Bayley.
Mm-hmm.
It goes down
in history as the first Iron Women's match ever in WWE, and she has a 4-minute match on Raw.
Right. Mm-hmm. She beat your whole SummerSlam pay-per-view, one of your big four pay-per-views. She destroyed every match on it with Bayley.
Yep.
In 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And yet she has a 4-minute. Now, I like the promo she cut afterwards. Did you hear what she did?
No.
She said she wasn't tapping out. There was a spider in the ring and she was trying to kill it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the best excuse I've ever heard of tapping out.
If she starts mimicking R-Truth, I'm going to get pissed. But maybe she'll bring back Little Jimmy. Maybe
Stop
her and R-Truth.
Spider's out.
Oh, my God. R-Truth. Imagine this, R-Truth and Sasha Banks walk into a ring,
mm-hmm.
holding an imaginary Little Jimmy.
Oh, my God.
I can just see them like lifting him up in the air.
We need to go home.
I'm getting cross-eyed. All right. Well, Mo, where can folks find you on the brilliance that has killed wrestling social media?
Yes.
They can find me on the tweet book. facebook.com/TheMoeMoSteagle and Twitter at Mo Steagle.
Well, you can follow, I guess I'll do a Twitter before we do Superstar of the Week.
Okay.
Be sure you're following us on Twitter at Oversell Podcast and head over to facebook.com/Oversell Podcast and follow me on Twitter. I am at Shropnuts, SCHROEPNUTS.
I am at One Dangerous Dan, and I'm on Facebook, Dangerous Dan Matthews.
At WolfMike23.
Also, be sure to head over to Oversell.com and check out the Amazon link. Buy lots of stuff and help support this podcast. And, guys, we like to end every episode like this. We like to do Superstar of the Week. So, guys, I ask you, who is your
Superstar of the Week?
Echo.
That's
my my superstar of the week is the echo function on that mixer.
I like it.
I like it too. It gives somebody a godly voice on another podcast.
Right, Mo.
Hang on. I'll tell you after we get done recording what that's all about. Dan, superstar of the week.
Oh man, my superstar of the week is going to be Dean Ambrose. Because I like both of his matches more than most of the rest of the ones at the pay-per-view.
Mike?
I'll go with Undertaker just for longevity.
All right. My Superstar of the Week, I have two of them. Actually, Mo, let me get yours before I do mine. I always like to do it.
I'm going to go cliche and go 25 years, give it to The Undertaker.
I like it. I have two on mine. They're a tag team, and their names are Full Deck. That is my Superstar
M-E-W.
Of the Week. M-E-W. They...
Oh, no. Talking about player.
What? What'd you say? What was that?
What are you talking about, player? Talking about Full Deck, player.
Full Deck.
Talking about tattoo.
That's Diamond Ink.
No. Yeah, you're talking like Tattoo. That's Diamond Inc. He's talking about Full Deck. They're the other tag team.
I know. Well, Tattoo runs the show, baby.
I'm sorry, George, in the chat room
says, Superstar of the Week, the Atlanta fans who booed Roman when he won the title. Screw Vince.
Oh,
man. But that's going to be it for this week.
You didn't have Rock out there this time for a
Rebuild.
Yeah,
well, The Rock probably won't be out there with Roman Reigns again. He's like, I'm not getting booed like that, man.
Yeah.
Well, fuck yourself, Vince.
Only if he rock bottoms him at the end.
Yeah, there you go. And joins the Authority.
I am going for the title.
Yep. Well, that's going to be it, everybody. Thank you for listening. Mo, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. I know you're feeling a little under the weather, and you tough through it to come do this stupid little podcast with us.
I did it.
And
you made
survived.
It through.
You made it through.
He's going to puke.
Now, he's probably going to explode.
I ain't far from it.
He's going to puke.
He's going to puke. He's going to puke.
He's going to. He's going to. He's going to.
Are we trying to get him to do it on the air?
No.
I don't want it. I don't want him taking it into the bathroom to go.
He's probably going to do that anyway.
He probably will. All right.
Oh, man, I'm so doing that as soon as I get off here.
No, I'm sure you are.
I've been holding it for 5 minutes.
Oh, jeez.
Well, why don't we keep you on the line here?
No, don't. No, Let's not and say we did.
Well, guys.
All right.
Thank you for listening so much, everyone. Be sure you head on out to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast here.
Like us on Facebook, too.
Like us on Facebook and give us a little five-star.
Follow us on Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter. Be sure you buy lots of stuff from that Amazon link. Head over to oversellpodcast.com. That's where you can do that. And leave us a review on iTunes. That helps us with our iTunes rating.
Yeah.
And a happy Thanksgiving.
Very happy Thanksgiving to all the listeners. Mo, thank you for having us.
What the hell's this?
Spike your hair.
I think I'll be good.
Some more?
Huh?
What are you?
Try not to get it on the rest of my table here.
Oh, my God. No.
Can you do that? Huh?
No.
You gonna get sick?
Oh, God.
Huh? Oh. Huh? Oh, my God. He's coming at you.
And that's where we're going to leave it this week. Thanks, folks, for listening.